The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Just a warning, our next item relates to matters pertaining to sexual assault and sexual abuse. So if you have small ears nearby, maybe you might want to go elsewhere for about 10 or 15 minutes and then rejoin us thereafter, because what we're discussing is the accusations, the allegations made against Mohammed Al-Fayed, the late owner of Harrods. He has been accused of sexual assault and rape by former employees at his department store. At least 37 women accused the late Mohammed Al-Fayed of sexual abuse, and many of them are represented by women's rights attorney Gloria Allred, who is with us this morning. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning.
Gloria, the nature of the allegations being made against Mohammed Al-Fayed, some will have seen the BBC documentary Al-Fayed, Predator at Harrods. For those who haven't, can you give us a sense of what the women you represent say he did?
Yes, and I'm honored to, you know, be part of the barrister's legal team, but serving as a consultant to them, because I've had so many high-profile cases in the United States, including R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby, and of course, I also represent alleged victims, accusers of Sean Diddy Combs right now. But having said that, you know, it was a terrible thing that they had foisted upon them, these victims, by Mohammed Al-Fayed, and it did involve allegations of serial rape by him, and of attempted rape, and of sexual battery, and also of child molestation. So these are very serious charges. I'm just very proud of all of the survivors who have come forward. And Mohammed Al-Fayed tried to silence them while they were alive, and they will not be silenced anymore. Some of them are coming forward to the press. Some still want their privacy, and but they know that when they can speak to a barrister or an attorney, that they enjoy a privilege of confidentiality. So they protect their privacy, and their confidentiality is protected. And they're just very brave because of, you know, when they were threatened by Mohammed Al-Fayed, if they told anybody, and they had a basis for being terrified of him, because he even said to them, to some of them, "I know where your family lives. If you ever say anything to anyone, you'll never work in London again. You will suffer consequences." So given that they found out that their phones were also tapped, the phones they were using at Harrods in the chairman's office, and in addition, given the fact that we know there was surveillance, one person found out that there was surveillance of her to find out if she had a boyfriend. That was something that Mohammed Al-Fayed wanted to know, and that they were subjected to invasive gynecological examinations as a condition of employment. And all of those private medical results from the examination were provided to Mohammed Al-Fayed without the women and girls' consent and without their authorization.
And the, that latter,
it was just extraordinary, you know, that he wanted to know about whether they had any sexually transmitted diseases, obviously because he wanted to have sex with them. He wanted to sexually assault
but
them.
But as you say, Gloria, I mean, that is so extraordinary that, A, that it would be a condition of employment at a department store that you would have to subject yourself to such an examination, but B, that medical records get shared with your employer, in some instances, according to the allegations that I would have read, before they were even shared with the person themselves.
Yes, and some cases never were. So, yes, it is extraordinary, and it's just a kind of a sign of what he was up to and the control that he was exercising. And, I mean, his conduct knew no boundaries that most people would adhere to. So he had very strong anger if it wasn't done his way. He not only, you know, sexually assaulted some women in Harrods, but also some of them he required to take trips with him, like to Paris. And there are allegations that in Paris, at the Ritz Hotel, which he owned, that there were assaults taking place there. Also, at the home that Mohamed Al-Fayed owned in Paris, which was he purchased from the Duke of Windsor, who had been living there with his wife. Assaults took place there and also at other locations. And, you know, a lot of people knew what was going on. For example, they would see some of the victims coming out of Park Lane, which was also a home of Mohamed Al-Fayed. The young women would be disheveled. They would be crying. Some of them were hysterical. And, you know, some of the security people saw that. They could put two and two together and see what was happening.
Can I ask you, Gloria, on that? Because you detailed at the outset some of the other cases on which you have worked representing victims. Some of them still at the stage where there are allegations being made. Some of them where they have been ventilated through court. But if the list that you outlined, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, the Bill Cosby case, the current case pending against Sean Diddy Combs. In all of those instances, and in the instances of Mohamed Al-Fayed, one of the things that is notable is the sheer scale of the allegations of sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual harassment that had gone on untrammeled, it seems, by the legal system or by any transparency. How is it that this goes for so long without being discovered?
Well, and for example, Jeffrey Epstein, where I represented 20 victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Well, it went on so long because many of the victims were in fear of saying anything. And now that they're released from that fear and the threats and the intimidation and the control, and also in unity there's strength, and I always say courage is contagious. So some of the women have shown courage in coming forward. And, you know, the other women also are showing courage now. And they realize they're not alone in this. They're not isolated. And they don't have to keep the secret, as Muhammad required them to do. And they're realizing also through a lot of therapy that they're not to blame. The guilty one is Muhammad Al-Fayed. He's the one that put them in the no-win situation. After all, this was employment. They had a right to a workplace that was not what they had. What they had was a toxic, unsafe, abusive workplace in which they had to kind of, you know, do sexual economics, that is, trade their bodies if they wanted to keep a job. Many of them needed the job to pay the rent, for example, just to pay for food. They had hoped, their dream was to work at Harrods, a glitzy, glamorous place, and to learn also while they were there. And instead of a dream, they got the nightmare.
You've obviously spoken and worked closely with the women that you are representing. Can you give us a sense of the impact that has had on them? Because for a lot of these women, they have not only suffered the alleged assault at the time, but have been forced to remain silent about it for years after.
Yes, and in addition, they've never had any justice in all of this. You know, because one of the, you know, a lot of people felt that they wouldn't be believed. And in fact, one underage girl who, you know, alleged that she was assaulted went to the police, and this case was never prosecuted. And, you know, she says, well, they were saying that you got the day wrong by one day. Well, I had a civil trial we went through against Bill Cosby, famous television star. And in that case that we prosecuted, that, you know, we litigated, I should say, in Santa Monica, California, for a woman who alleged that she was 16 years old when Cosby sexually molested her at the Playboy Mansion in Southern California, she had gotten the date wrong by 1 year, okay? But still the jury came back in our favor, and we won. So just because someone gets the date wrong, a date that was many years ago, doesn't mean that should be the end of the case. There are many other ways to prove it. And as long as you're honest with, you know, a jury or a judge, I think you have a chance of prevailing. And so in any event, look, they some of them remember in great detail what happened. Some of them wrote down what happened at the time in their journals. Some even recorded some of what he said. So, you know, I think there's a great deal here. And the current owners of Harrods acknowledge that Harrods failed the women. And they are saying, contact us. You know, we'll talk to you about settlement. That's the essence of what they're saying. I don't think they should do that. I think they should contact independent lawyers, independent of Harrods, and see if they're, you know, if they're willing to do the right thing. I always say it's never too late to do the right thing.
Can I ask, Gloria, one of the things in this? You mentioned Weinstein, you mentioned Epstein. There was a sense, particularly around the Weinstein case, that there was a dam burst. It was part of and led to the Me Too movement. There was a sense now that light was getting shone into dark corners. I think one of the things that may surprise people is the fact that years after that apparent dam burst, Mohammed Al-Fayed, according to what he did in the BBC documentary, was still protected. Light failed to get anywhere near anything that he was doing. Is there any difference now, internationally, culturally, in the behavior of powerful men than there was pre-Weinstein?
Well, I think there is still a lot of misconduct and sometimes, you know, crimes against women, violence against women. By the way, he, Mohammed, was also, according to some of the women, violent with them, for example, when they wouldn't agree to sleep with him, wouldn't agree to have sexual intercourse with him. He wouldn't accept that, even though they were saying no, even though they were kicking and screaming and trying to get away, and some were able to flee, some not. Then he forced himself on some of these women. So anyway, to answer your question, the bad news is that still wealthy, powerful, famous men, you know, often take advantage of vulnerable women and girls underage. The good news, however, is that, you know, the women are getting to know they have rights. They have right not to be sexually assaulted and raped. They have a right not to be molested when they're children. And they have a right not to be subjected to sexual batteries. So they are contacting lawyers like me, for example, in the United States. And there are some Americans that are alleged victims of Mohammed Al-Fayed as well. And they would like to have justice. So I also say, and many people say in the United States, justice delayed is justice denied. It's been delayed for them for many years. But we believe that Harrods can still do the right thing, that they've said they wanted to, they want to. But the women, instead of contacting them directly, because we see what Harrods allowed to happen in the past before the new purchasers purchased it, it's better for the women to have independent attorneys to advise them and to contact Harrods, you know, about the monetary compensation that they should provide. For example, many of these women, they lost wages because they were terminated because they wouldn't go along with Mohammed's sexual advances. He terminated them. In addition, some of them have had to pay a lot of doctor's bills for the violence he inflicted on them, physical violence. And some of them have had to go into therapy, and that's cost them a lot of money. So they should be compensated for all of that,
okay. And
then some for their pain and suffering. In other words, there should be a meaningful accountability, because that would be justice. Just
Gloria,
saying we failed is not enough.
Gloria, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Gloria Allred. She's representing the former Harrods employees, many of them who have claimed to have been raped and sexually assaulted by Mohammed Al-Fayed. And if anything in that topic and in that discussion affected you, you can, of course, contact 1in4 at 1in4.ie or through 01662 4070.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.